Well, hi, everyone. Casey Truffaut again here with the second class of our More Clients for Me. And last class, I was so touched with the contributions that you guys all gave, those of you that were watching it live and also those of you that were in the replay that gave us comments later. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. Let's just summarize what we did last time, and if you are watching live here with me, if you could put in the chat your takeaways from the last call. What is it that spoke to you? And I just really want to say that for me, the big thing this year is really standing firm in my belief that we need to be in alignment. Our marketing needs to be in alignment with our values and with who we are. So that is my big wish for you and my big takeaway from the last call, if you will, and the thing that I really tried so much to get across to you. And last time we talked about why is it hard to build a private practice, and one of the things that we were saying was that it's like hitting a moving target because many of us have never really defined what success means to us. It's like that old pornography. We know what it is when we see it, but it's hard to describe. So I think that that's what success is too, and that's why I'm going to beg you to take some time with the four filtering questions that I gave you last time, and I will repeat them. We're going to repeat them in just a moment. The reason that I gave you those questions was not to annoy you and not to make you waste time, but actually, hopefully, to get you to save time. Because I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm going to make a prediction that if you don't spend the time with those four filtering questions, that it's going to be much harder to attract clients into your practice. They're there for a reason. So let's go over them. Okay, so the first one is, what does success mean to you? Some people in the chat are typing in. For those of you that are watching on the replay and listening on the phone, some of the people that were attending live were saying that some of their takeaways were that they are so passionate about people, and sometimes we forget that. And I think that's really, really impressive, Michelle, that you really get in touch with that and remember that. Love Coach Diane says private practice plus. That spoke to her, where we talked about private practice plus adding some other business models to it, some other technology or things like the paperless office, video, and educational products. So you go, girl. And then Rennie Smith says, I was finally able to write down what it is I do with clients. Awesome. And then more of you are writing in, and that is just so much fun. And we're going to be talking today. What we're going to do today is I'm going to go over the four questions again. I'm going to remind you of that. And that we're then going to go look at the marketing activities. In your resource center on the replay page, you have, from video one, some resources. One is the sheet that has all of the marketing activities on it. And we're going to be going over that in just a minute. So I would just want to share. It looks like this for those of you that are watching on the video. I know you can't really see it, and so I'm not going to try to teach from it, but I'm going to actually be going through each one of those marketing activities and share with you what they are and how they work. So I just want to let you know that that's going to be happening today. So, yay, very excited. If for some reason the video stops, and you're still on the phone or watching live, just stay with us for a minute. Every once in a while, we have little technology glitches. So if you're watching on the replay, then you probably won't have to worry about that. Okay. So let's go back through the four filtering questions that we talked about. Then I'm going to go through your marketing options, the activities that you can choose from once you know what it is the target you're trying to hit. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a case study. And today the case study is going to be a made-up one. I made this up. Her name is Kylie, and she works with couples. And so that's who we're going to take through a case study today. And, again, it's all fictitious and made up. So if your name is Kylie and you work with couples, honestly, this isn't about you. But maybe you'll get something out of it. All right. So let's go through those filtering questions again. The first question was, what does success mean to you? And it's a rather deep question. So I would love for you to answer it on two levels. On the quick level, which is like, well, I'd like to make more money, and I'd like to have more free time. I'd like to see more of my ideal clients. But then I want you to go deeper. What specifically does that mean? What kind of hours are you working? What kind of schedule are you keeping? What types of clients do you want to see? Sometimes when we ask what is it we don't want, that can get us closer to what it is that we do want, right? So what kind of money do you want to make? Let's not just say more. Let's figure out how much that is, and then let's have a target. And that way we know whether we're hitting the target or we need to work a little bit harder or a little bit more focused in our marketing. So that was question number one, what does success mean to you? Question number two is, who are you? And this really is the purpose work that I like to think about. It's, what is it that you're all about? Who is it that you are? What is it you like? What is your personality? What is it that you enjoy? What is it that you would love to do even if you weren't paid for doing it? Who is it you would like to work with even if you weren't paid for working with them? Next, and this is really important, what is your message? What is it that you know that you want the world to know? I get kind of teary when I think about this because I know that each one of you has a purpose and a calling and a message, and it is just so clear, but sometimes we don't hear it. And I like to think of this as those snow globes. Remember those snow globes? I wish I had one at my event. Maybe I'll bring one. And you know how when you take the snow globe and you kind of shake it up and you hold it for a moment, you see the snow, but you don't see the scene inside? I kind of think of our purpose like that. And that sometimes our message or our purpose gets obstructed by all this kind of crazy thinking that we do, or we try too hard, or we're not being true to ourselves because we think somebody else has the answer. But when we let the snow settle in that snow globe, that's when we can see the beautiful scene. And that's what I want you to do, to just spend some time in nature or whatever it is, to figure out what is it that's important to you? What is it that's calling to you? One of my techniques for this is to look at where your pain has come from. Quite honestly, your pain and the resolution of your pain is often what draws us, not all the times, but often what draws us to help others. And we often want to help others through the pain that we have. We often want to help others through the pain that we had. And sometimes your purpose and your most deep spiritual gifts are right there in that pain. Right? So something to think about. So what have you learned in your life? What has been the best advice? Where are you called to help people? I think this is an ongoing evolutionary process that we learn this, and I really invite you to listen to that small, still voice inside, to spend some time in quiet so that you let that snow in the snow globe settle. Another example is in a river where you've got the silt, you know, the dirt is all stirred up from the bottom of the river and you can't see through the water. It looks very mucky, but when the silt settles, that's when you can see the beauty of underwater. All right. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. So question number one, what does success mean to you? Question number two is, who are you? I have so much to say about that. It sounds so simple, but I will tell you two things. The first thing is, I will tell you, whenever I make decisions based on what's deep and what I know to be true for me, even if it doesn't sound like it's a good idea, whenever I do that, it seems to work out. And I think that it can be some spiritual internal guidance system or some external spiritual guidance system, however you choose to look at it. But I really invite you to start paying attention, because nobody is a better expert on you than you. Mm-hmm. And the second story I wanted to tell you is, when I was in college, I was about 18, taking my first psychology class. And I had never done very much personal growth work. And I was terrified, I think, to do that. And our psychology instructor gave us an index card and wrote on it, "Who are you?" And our assignment was to fill up the index card with what that was. And I remember writing on that. My name is Casey. I was not married at the time. My name is Casey Perryman. I live at this address. And I am a computer science major, and I'm taking this for an elective. And that was what I turned in. And I look back now at that, and I think, I wish I'd spent more time with that question. I wish I had. And so I invite you to now, who are you? All right, question number two. Question number three was, based on your message, that purpose, that calling, that message that you have for people, whatever that is, who needs to hear that? All right? Who needs to hear that? So, for example, it might be that you're somebody, you might have been abused as a child, and so you feel very strongly about childhood abuse. And so who needs to hear that are people who have had bad things happen to them. All right? So this is just really worth taking some time. Who needs to hear your message? Then also part of that that we said was not only who needs to hear your message, do they know they have a problem? How would they define their problem? And what would they pay for if they were going to get some help with it? Right now, all of those things are really important because once you figure that out, once you figure out what they're willing to pay for and how they describe it, that gives you the language that you can use in any of your marketing activities. So on your website, in any newsletter, in any speaking engagements, anything like that, any online directories, you can then use that language that you know your ideal clients would want to pay for. So again, don't forget, in your resource center on the replay page, video number one is there, and it has your video and it has some audios. And we also have the ideal client exercise for you, and we have the list of marketing activities I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Some of you on the chat are saying that being quiet is hard, and boy, I know that. I know that because it's so much easier to listen to what I call that tempest in a teapot thinking, that thinking inside of, you'll hear me talk a lot about this year, it's that thinking inside of our brain that tells us, do this, don't do this, move, don't move. Don't listen to yourself. I know better. You're going to hurt yourself if you do that. Don't do this. Listen to this expert. It sort of tries to talk us out of, this just touches me, and it tries to talk us out of listening to who we are. Now, I think that part is just trying to protect us, all right? I really do. I think that part is just old programming that is just trying to protect us. Some people call it monkey mind. But what I'm wanting for you is to know that that deep wisdom inside of you, seriously, is the answer. It's not me. It's not this class. It's that wisdom inside of you. All right? So I love those Venn diagrams. So I'm going to draw one with my hand now. So we have the who are you and what you love and your message. Who needs to hear that? And the intersection of that is our sweet spot where we're going to pick our marketing activities. So last time I told you that based on who needs to hear that, the fourth question is, how do we reach them? Where are they searching for? Where are they searching for help? So are they searching online? Are they talking to people? Who else services them that you might get connected with? That's the second part. That is question number four. And those are some additional parts to it. So question number four is, who needs to hear that? And where are they searching for? Question number four is, where are they searching for help? Who else are they talking to? Where are they hanging out together? All right. So that is really the four filtering questions. And the reason that I give those to you and is because remember our CARE model, C-A-R-E, C stands for clarify. Now we're going to run into the marketing. I'm going to show you now the marketing activities. So this is where it gets kind of interesting because if you think about it, we have four different types. We have the internet marketing activities. We have community marketing activities. And when I say community, I don't mean social media. I mean community marketing, meaning in your local community. So our internet marketing activities, community marketing activities, public relations activities, and then tribe building or community building. And this is where, for those of you that are thinking of the Private Practice Plus model, and by the way, my brain this morning was popcorning with all kinds of cool ideas on Private Practice Plus. I'm so excited about all of the things that we could be doing with that. I woke up this morning and I was watching Hoarders on TV and because I couldn't sleep, and I got so involved in that show. And then I got to thinking about, what if you wanted to be a hoarding specialist, and how could you do that with a Private Practice Plus model? And I was just sort of, my brain was cycling off into ideas. So let's talk about the different types of marketing activities that we have. So first we have we're going to have is the internet. Now, remember a while ago we talked about the fact that you had to be on the internet, and I totally believe that you have to be on the internet. And it looks like on the chat we do have some hoarding specialists here, so that's very, very cool. So you do have to have an internet presence, but I don't think we can restrict our activities only to the internet unless you know that the only way people are going to find you is through the internet. They're not going to find you by coming to a talk or talking to anybody else. So that's rare. There are particular cases where that might be the case, especially if you're doing online counseling or coaching. They may be primarily finding you on the internet. But most of the places, and I said this last time, it used to be that we got clients from speaking in the community, but here's what happened. When everybody ran over to the internet and left the community, and so then what happened was that nobody's talking to the people in the community. They're rare that you'll find a community talk. Nobody's connecting with so many specialists out there that want to refer to people. So, you know, to me, let's really think about this. So on the internet, what do you need on internet marketing? You need to create what I call a workhorse website. And what does that mean? So we need to have, obviously, your homepage and your About the Therapist page. Put about your name, about Barbara. We need an FAQs page, and we need a contact page. Now, there's lots of other things we could talk about. In fact, just to let you know, in about 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be offering a website class. So for those of you that might be interested, stay tuned. And if you're watching this on the replay at a later date, we will have that in the store for you. But anyway, so I'm very excited about that. So on your website, you want to have those 4 things, at least a home page, an About the Therapist, an FAQs, and a contact page. That is a basic website. If you don't have that, I would like you to at least be on the online locators such as, and Amber, are you with me on the phone?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Amber, could you take a list of these and make sure we put them with links in the resource center for the online locators? I'm going to give the names, and I know that people are going to say, which one did she say? And if we know.
Yep, I will make. Yes, I will add them under our video 2 resources on the resource page.
Thank you. Okay. So if we think about this, the online locators are online directories that are either free with your association, or you pay a monthly fee for them. They work hard to get search engine optimized so that you don't have to. So the lowest level of internet presence that you could have is to have an online directory, and you can make it look like your website. Make your homepage of your online directory look just like you would put on a homepage of your website. The second level up from that is a website which has the 4 pages that I just talked about. Yeah, it's a monthly or an annual fee. You're right, Barbara. Thank you. So that's the second thing. The third thing is what I call the workhorse website. So on the workhorse website, here are some options that you can put on there. You could perhaps put a video on there that's maybe 15 seconds that says, you know, I'm glad you're here. If you're here, you're probably struggling with this problem. I'm so sorry. Please don't wait one more day. I want to hear your story. All right? So that could be an example. So they can hear your voice, they can see you, they can feel your compassion. That could be a video. You could put what we call a pink spoon giveaway, which would be something free that they could download. And if you're trying to build a list of people, a list of names, then you could ask for their email. And it could be a list of tips. Now, this is why knowing what your client would pay for is so important, because then you could create a pink spoon, an audio or a video or a download or a report or something like that. You could pick that based on what it is your client most is looking for. So I know that a lot of people are saying that video scares you. I understand that. And it kind of reminds me of a long time ago when people said they wouldn't put their pictures on their website or in their Psychology Today listing because they were afraid. And so today, video, most computers have a little video camera in it. You can buy a $100 video camera if you want and take a little video, and it is really, really easy. In fact, at the Practice Building Conference this year, coming up in probably April, we're setting a date for that, we're going to replay a couple of videos on how to put video on your site. Okay, so pretty easy. All right, so if you're afraid of looking stupid on video, then I'm going to say this. It really is a good idea to have somebody look at your video, because some people look really good in their picture, and then they get on the video, and they're like this, and they can't talk. If that is really you, then figure out if there's a way that you can warm up a little bit with that and pretend like the camera is just a friend, all right? When I look at the camera, I think about all of you, and it reminds me of like when we were at my More Clients for Me event, and many of you were there, and I think about your faces. I see you on Facebook and on social media, and I love you, and that's what I think about when I talk to the camera. And if I think, do I have lipstick on my teeth, or is my eyeliner showing, or mostly I worry about my bang, if I start worrying too much about all of that, I'm going to go crazy. Now, see, I'm going to get a sip of water, but today I got a smaller cup, so you guys wouldn't think I was swimming in it. Okay. Another thing that you can put on your website is what we call the online appointment scheduler. I strongly believe in the online appointment scheduler when you are ready, okay, when you're ready. So what do I mean by ready? If you're feeling technologically inclined and you are willing to use your calendar on your computer, on a computer, it would be basically on a website, then an online scheduler is awesome. And why is that? Because let's say it's the middle of the night and my husband hasn't come home and I'm starting to make up stories in my head about what's going on and I start looking at therapists. If I look at your site online and your copy speaks to me and then they click on your online scheduler, then and there's a way for them to make an appointment, what we have discovered, some of you are saying that people aren't using your online scheduler. Other people are saying that you are. With the number of people that I've worked with, what we have found is that people will schedule online depending on your specialty or depending on how you talk about what you do and how easy you make it for them. And I will tell you that if in the middle of the night my husband doesn't come home, I'm making up stories in my head, If your copy speaks to me on your website and there's a way to make an appointment and I know how much it's going to cost, I'm going to make an appointment and then I'm going to get off the phone and go to bed because now I can't sleep. All right? So somebody's asking, is it a bad thing when you're not so busy? It makes you look like you're not full or not successful. You get to put into the scheduler what hours you're willing to let the scheduler book for you. So you can put in as many or as few as you want to. So that's certainly up to you. The other thing is, respectfully, your client isn't looking at your schedule thinking, wow, they have a lot of openings. They're not thinking that way. Or they might think that way and think, well, that's a good thing for me, the client. They're not thinking, why does she have so many openings? She must be new or not good. All right? So remember that they're not going to see your full schedule. All they're going to see are the open slots that you have, and you can put in what you wish there. The other thing, I said if they know how much it costs, there's a couple of ways to work with the online scheduler. You can choose to, and we'll talk much more about this in the website class that's coming up, you can choose to put your fees on your website, and I will tell you when that's a good idea and when it's not a good idea. It's usually not a good idea because usually you want to join with them before you talk about your fees. On the flip side, if you're full, feel free to put your fees on there. Third part point, if you're using an online scheduler, sometimes it's harder for people to book if they don't know what it's going to cost. Okay, so that's kind of an issue that you might think about. I mean, if I was going to book a hair appointment online or a nail appointment, I might really be excited to do that. But if I was going to book an appointment with an attorney that I didn't know how much it's going to cost, I might not want to book that online without knowing the price. So I'm 50-50 on whether you put your fee on your site if you have a scheduler. So you can test it either way. That's one thing I want you to do is to test it. Okay? Some of you are saying that you love your online calendar. Okay. So again, if you don't have an online scheduler, I recommend you don't put your fee on your website. Let them call you and connect with you. If you're full and you want to put your fee on, that's great. It'll thin the herd of the people that call you. Okay, so that's great. All right. Some people are asking about free consultations. Now, when we get to speaking, I'm going to tell you, probably in class number 3, which is our next class, I'm going to tell you, for those of you that haven't heard it before, my formula for how to do a free consultation. And I recommend that free consultation, it's done in a specific format. And it's done in a specific format with a specific set of questions and in order. And at the same time, it's always done at the same, in the same place that you do your work and the same length of time. Now, I know some of you can do it less time. You can do a 15-minute and if it's working for you, keep doing it. This whole class is about if it's working for you, keep doing it. But if maybe you're looking to have a higher conversion rate, meaning turning more prospective clients into clients, we'll talk about how to do that with a free consult. All right? Okay. I'm just looking at some of my notes here. All right. So those are some of the things that you can have on your internet and your website. Make sure on your website that your content is about the client and not about you. All right? So in our example, which we're going to talk about Kylie in a minute, we're going to show how she didn't do that, and then we converted it. Again, this is all kind of fictitious. All right. Second thing on the internet is you want to attract traffic to your website. So how are you going to do that? If you have an online locators, I recommend that you be on at least 3 online locators, and then you can put your website in there. Pay per click, which is Google AdWords. Many of you are trying that. It's probably one of the 2 top ways that I recommend if people are searching for you online. But if you decide to do that, make sure you either really learn how to do it or you hire somebody who knows how to do it. All right? So that's pay per click, which is like Google AdWords. We also talked about pink spoon giveaways, putting something like that. So you can put on your business card for your free report, top 10 things women do to find the man of their dreams, visit and put your website. You can do that. Also, some practice building coaches recommend that you send out letters. I've never recommended that, rarely recommended that. And that's because if you got a letter in the mail, what would you do? What would you do? Okay? So another option online is to connect with social media. I know some of you are having some pretty good luck with social media. I found that of the 25,000 people that I've worked with, we found about 10 that have had good luck with social media. So if you're not on social media now, and I'm talking about blogging and then all the social media platforms, if you're not doing it now and you haven't done some of these other things we're talking about, I would focus on that. All right? So I would focus on getting your website going well, and I would focus on your community marketing. Okay? All right, so let's go back to our community marketing now. So marketing so that's the internet. So you want to have some internet marketing. Community marketing, this is one of the things we call is connect with your centers of influence. And this is who do you know? Excuse me. Who do you know that might know people to refer to you or might know people that you could connect with that could refer people to you? So, for example, I was working with this lady one time, And I was asking her, who do you know that's anybody? And she stopped for a second and she said, you know, I know a family court judge. He's a friend of my husband. He comes over for dinner about once a month. I never thought of talking to him about ideas for my practice. And she worked with families in conflict. So isn't that interesting that she never thought about connecting with a family court judge? So who is it that you know that you might be able to refer to in terms of your center of influence? Second, who are your existing referral sources and how much are you keeping in touch with them? Well, one of our review members, Mark, one time when I first started with him a few years ago, he said to me that he used to get a lot of referrals from this one counseling center, but he hadn't gotten them in a long time. And I said, when was the last time you spent time with the people up there? And he said, oh, that was a long time ago. So if relationships, remember, this is all about the new economy, is all about building relationships. So your referral sources are extraordinarily precious to you. So make sure you spend some time cultivating those relationships. So if you're, this is not just writing a generic thank you note. Spend some time. Pick out a card for that person when you've gotten permission to thank them for a referral. Connect with them. Ask them how you can serve them. All right. Tell them you're building a Rolodex of like people that you respect and want to refer to. And are they looking for more clients or patients or customers, whatever they call them? And then tell them, you know, how should I introduce you? The more that you can connect and show that you care, you're going to, what we've said before, love them into your practice. Right? The more you speak about your passion, and while I was talking a little bit before about languaging on your workhorse website and when you write in your online directories and things like that, and what we'll talk about more in the website class, we'll talk about how to language it, but I never want you to forget that your job is to let the joy out. And it's that intersection of your passion and what they need to hear. Right? And let's just put a bookmark there for a second. What they need to hear. There's an old marketing expression that says, give them what they want and you earn the right to give them what they need. Give them what they want and you earn the right to give them what they need. Right? So if you think that people need to change, you're probably not going to want to put that on your website unless they wake up at 3 a.m. and going, I want to change. I want to change. Let me find a therapist that will help me change. Assuming that's not happening, and I haven't seen that happen too often, you wouldn't want to use those words, even though that was your purpose and what you believed. All right. So there is a languaging, a translation, if you will, taking what you're good at, what you love, and really thinking about it from the people that need to hear it. How would they describe it? And that then becomes the languaging that you want to use. Okay, which brings me to speaking. Speaking, I think if you are average, if you're slightly below average, to good, to great speaker, speakers with the free consultation process, which I will teach you next time, is the number one way to get clients right now. And that is because we've seen it happen over and over again. Di Philippi just, you know, will speak and get several people. She has so many people she's gotten from free consultations that she's got a waiting list. And you know, she says, I hate to even do speaking engagements now because I don't know if I can offer the free consult because I'm so full. All right. So that works. And the reason I say if you're even halfway, you know, not horrible at it, it's because speaking is really about connecting with your community by facilitating a group discussion. Nobody's coming to hear a medical school lecture. You've heard me say that before. But they just want to connect with you. And so when you can do that and they want to hear themselves talk and they want to feel good and they want to get 1, 2, or 3 points. So when you can do that in a community setting, in a low-key setting, and offer free consultation, about 10% of the people will sign up for a free consultation with you. And then 10 to 50% of those people will become clients. So think about it. If you speak to 30 people and 10 to 50% sign, or 10 to 30, probably about, let's say 20% sign up out of 30 people, that's 6. you can get 1 to 3 clients. So every talk, every speaking engagement, pick up 1 to 3 clients. Not bad. Speak in front of more than 30 people or speak multiple times to different groups of 30 or 50 or 100. You see how this works? It just kind of like snowballs. So it's awesome. Awesome. All right, I'm going to check in for a second. If you're on the phone and you have a question, if you want to put that into, if you're on the phone and you want to press star 2, that would be super. And if you have a question, and now Love Coach Diane says, I'm the local Bollywood radio station love relationships expert. After a year, they've given me my own show, Love Matters. And so very, very cool. Some other people are saying that they're doing free presentations. Great. Because, see, when you do the free presentation and then you offer the free consult, you do the free consult, you love them into your practice, super, 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 super. All right. Awesome. So I'm just going to check and see. We do have a question here. Let's see. Okay. Somebody calling from North Carolina. You're on.
Hi. It's Kay Carey. I'm in the chat and on the phone. How are you?
Hi, Kay.
I wanted to know, with my situation, I'm transitioning from managed care to private practice, and I wanted to know if you had any advice as to how we can implement these things that you are teaching us, which are great, and also keep an income while we try to transition.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and I'm going to answer that question, Kay. Awesome, thank you for that question. That was really good. How can you maintain an income while you're out marketing your practice? This is what we call the hybrid practice, which is where you're still bringing in the managed care clients and you're going out and doing all of these things and bringing in clients. There's a chance, a really, really good chance, okay, that what you're going to bring in is managed care people. And that is part of the issue because you agreed at one point to have the managed care people be your sales staff. You signed papers that said, I'm happy to take a lower fee if you'll go out and put my website and everything else on your site so that I can get clients. But now I'm thinking I want to change my mind, and now I'm thinking I'm willing to do my own marketing. So if you want to do that, then you go out and do your own marketing. Some people will be cash-paying clients, and some will come from managed care. I'm assuming that you are on. Let me just unmute you for a second. Kay, are you there?
I am here.
Yes. Are you saying you're on managed care panels now?
I am, and taking steps to withdraw. However, it's scary to not have that income while I build my private practice.
Exactly. What I would do is stay on them and not withdraw until you're convinced after about 6 months that you have acquired a certain level of income from your marketing activities. So I would, if it were me, and it was me at one time, I would not withdraw until I knew that I could do a speaking engagement and get X number of clients and that I could attract cash paying clients. Once I knew that, then I would put myself on hold with the managed care company that bothered me the most, and I'd put myself on hold for 90 days. And see if my income drops. You're still seeing the clients that you've committed to see, but you're not taking on any more from that managed care panel. And then I would see what happened in 90 days, and then I would continue that process until you were done. Does that help?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, we have another from Texas.
Yes, hello, Casey. This is Deborah Brown Gordy.
Hi.
Hey there. I am in process of, I've moved from Colorado to Texas. I spent a year.
Deborah, are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm on a headset.
Okay, can you take off your headset and ask your question because we can't hear you with the headset on.
Okay. All right, I took the headset off.
Perfect, thank you.
Uh-huh. What I was saying is I had moved from Colorado to Texas. It was kind of a year and a half process. We spent a period of time in a little town. I'm now in a new bigger town, and so I'm in process of launching here locally while continuing with what I had been doing online. So I don't quite feel like I've had to start all over,
mm-hmm.
but it does feel that way a little bit. And it's been a long time since I had to start from the beginning. So do you have any tips?
I think that if I were starting from the beginning, let me go through the rest of that marketing activities. And then, but I'm telling you, though, if it were me and I were starting from the beginning, I'd be asking those four filtering questions. And
okay.
Then I would, yeah.
I've done that. I've gone through your workbook again. It's been very fruitful and very productive and very enlightening to go through the workbook where I'm at. And so I have a good, clear idea of who I want, what I want my practice to look like, what my mission is, what my message is, where my passion and joy is, what's my story. I have all of that.
And you know who needs to hear that?
Yes.
Who needs to hear it?
Women in relationships with relationship pain.
Okay.
Whether they're married, whether they're divorced, whether they're not sure if they want to stay married.
I'm sorry. Women with relationship pain. Find me another kind of woman. Okay. So what does your marketing plan look like?
Speaking, connecting with gatekeepers in the community, in the target markets that I want to reach, and these are women in a couple of religious groups and spiritually awakening women in general.
Love it.
And then speaking, and then I'm going to do a big teleseminar launch for my online marketing within the next couple of months. I'm in process of starting that. I'm going to put a new homepage on both of my websites that's more, that has a lot less copy, and it's just like, here, get this free offer and then be part of my community, basically.
Okay, so when you ask for tips, you're doing all the right stuff. So if it's not generating the clients that you want to increase the amount of time you're doing it.
Okay.
I would start marketing, noting exactly how much time you're spending,
Okay.
And then how many hours do you want a week?
How many hours of client contact do I want a week?
Yes.
About 12.
And how many do you have?
About 4.
So that means you have 8 hours a week to do very focused marketing.
Okay.
Is that the amount you're doing now, do you think?
Probably not.
Right. I think that's the hot ticket. So I think you've really done well with the C in our clarify, you know, our C-A-R-E. You've done really well with the C. Now, the A is where you want to get into action and make sure that you're taking daily action.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Sure. And good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for being brave there, Deborah, coming online. I appreciate that. So this is where, like, you know, Deborah's doing everything right, and this is where you want to go ask yourself, where's the money? Okay, what's closest to the money? So I'm just going to finish real quickly my list of activities here because I want to go into Kylie and her stuff. So you can let your client, your existing client, support you if you want. There are lots of them that would like to refer to you if they knew you were looking for people. So that's something you might want to think about. You could go to business networking meetings like BNI, Business Network International, which is the largest networking organization in the world. If you do that, please be very general about your specialty. Maybe you help people, you know, you're a special kind of counselor or coach, and you help people who are struggling with their lives and relationships, or people who are complaining, or people who work with difficult people. Don't get real narrow at BNI. And then volunteer where your ideal clients are. This is good if you're, especially if you're looking for very wealthy clients. Sometimes being at the wealthy service organizations would be great. In terms of public relations, there's a couple of different types of ways you can get your name out there in the media. One is called HARO, H-A-R-O. Another one is called PR Leads, L-E-A-D-S. These are, HARO stands for Help a Reporter Out, and then PR Leads stands for Public Relations Leads. And these are places where you sign up, and then you get a bunch of emails every day from reporters asking for comments or quotes or advice. So that's possible if you want to check those out, HARO or PR Leads. Quick note, if you decide to do this, what I would do is sign up with PR Leads for 1 month. They're about $100 a month. I would sign up with them for 1 month and do their training. They really train you how to answer those emails quickly from the reporters. And then if you don't want to pay $100 a month, you can drop off of that because I think HARO is free. right? But you've learned how to answer the reporter well. And then if you think that there's stories that are, like Deborah was just talking about, if there's stories that might relate to things that are happening currently, like she might take the Demi Moore thing to, you know, obviously having some struggles at the time that I'm recording this, and maybe she wants to contact a reporter with some thoughts. You might not want to do that particularly, but there might be, if there was something if you were into, if you were a specialist in hoarding, maybe you contact a reporter about hoarding and how many hoarders there are. There's, what, 3 million in the United States, I think, or worldwide, I'm not sure. And so how many does that translate to your local area? And there, how do you deal with a hoarder? Maybe that's a great story for a reporter. So, and then you can maintain contact with reporters in different ways by sending them an email or a note saying, I really liked your story on this, that you really were wise here, building that relationship. Remember, it's all about building relationships. And those of you that want the Private Practice Plus model, then you're going to want to work at list building or tribe building or community building. And you can do that in so many ways. Speaking is great, online or offline, and networking and social media. So all kinds of ways that you can market your practice. So now you've got all of these different activities, all right? So you've got all of these different ones. So how do we know which is the right one for you? All right. The question you're going to ask yourself is, what is closest to the money? Meaning, which is the one that is most likely that my client is going to see, respond to, and hire me? All right? So a lot of people will say social media. And again, I want to say that I know some of you are getting clients with social media, but a lot of you aren't. All right? I mean, you're spending a lot of time on social media, which may be great, but are you getting clients from it? Where you could go and work at getting a speaking engagement and then go out and do the free consult process and get 1, 2, 3 clients, you know, like that very quickly versus spending the time stuck on social media. I was there today and somehow I'm watching a kitten stuck in a hamster wheel. Okay. So that is our marketing activity. So again, remember, let's kind of step back and take the 30,000-foot view here. Who are you? What's your message? Who's your client? And what do they say they need to hear? How are they searching for people? Which marketing activities are closest to the money? So let's take Kylie. Okay, I wrote up a little sample here of Kylie. And let's say Kylie is a therapist who wants to work with couples. All right, so she's liking couples, wants to work with couples. And let's say she comes to me and we're going to do a marketing evaluation. And I look at her stuff and I say, Kylie, how do you find clients? She says, well, I'm young and I like the internet. So that's primarily I'm on the internet. I say, okay, great. What have you got? Well, I've got a website. Okay, great. So we go and look at her website and her headline says, welcome to my website. Mm-hmm. Then she starts talking about how she's heard me say that's a good idea to have a headline, but she bought a templated website and it would only let her say welcome in the headline. So she's got some subheading that says, marriage requires compromise, so be the change you wish to see. So in Kylie's mind, that sounded very poetic and very loving and very kind. And then she talked all about how she'd been working for 5 years as a licensed professional counselor and how she described counseling and what counseling is. She showed some pictures of her office, and she talked about what people could expect from counseling. And it was all about counseling. I asked her, where else are you on the internet? And she said she was on the Psychology Today website. So we went over and we looked at her Psychology Today website, and she had 17 different specialties on there. So when you have 17 different specialties, nobody believes you. All right. So I was a little concerned about that. And she started off with low fee counseling was her opening line there on her Psychology Today listing. So we stepped back and took, again, I'm making up Kylie because she's not, doesn't exist, but imagine that I did a strategy session, a breakthrough session with her. We sat down and we said, okay, let's answer the 4 questions. So what does success mean to you? And she said, she talked about couples. She loves working with couples and she really wants couples to feel so important in each other's lives. And I said, so tell me about you. What words would describe you? And the first word that came to mind was Christian. And then she talked about loving and caring, and she was a child of divorce and went through all of this stuff and kind of learned a lot about Kylie. So Kylie's Christian wants to work with couples, and nowhere anywhere did it talk about Christian couples. So we went to the Psychology Today. So first, let me back up. Scratch that. So first we went to her website. So where it said, marriage requires compromise, be the change you wish to see, that's very loving. But let's imagine where her ideal client is in the middle of the night, making a therapist appointment. And I'm thinking that maybe they don't want to change. Usually people come to counseling or coaching because they, well, at least counseling, because they want someone else to change or something else to change. So instead of saying, welcome to my site, she decided to get a different website that didn't say welcome to my site. She was able to change the heading. And she said, marriage is tough. Christian marriage, maybe even tougher. Something like that. Okay, I'm not a copywriter, so, but you get the idea. So she's putting right up front that she's looking for Christian couples. And then she talks about how, you know, when as a Christian, she knows that values are very important, and sometimes staying together is very important. And saying no to your partner is tough for a Christian woman. She starts going through all of this kind of stuff. Began to see a whole different picture. We then went and we decided that she could put a little video on there where she sat down and she said, I understand. And she, you know, I'm sorry that you're here. And on one hand, I'm sorry that you're here. On the other hand, I'm glad that you're here because I'm sorry that you're struggling. And I know that you just want your marriage to be better. Let's see if we can make it better. Then on her website, she had an online scheduler. On her frequently asked questions, we took off all of that stuff about what is counseling and how does counseling work, and took off a picture of her office. And we put on in the frequently asked questions, questions that her ideal client would have before they picked up the phone. So one of the things was, are you going to tell us what to do in terms of staying together or getting divorced? What if my partner doesn't want to come in? Are you a Christian? Because her population might care about that. Now, please know that if you're a Christian counselor, these may not apply to you, but to Kylie, it did, because that was who she was. That was her depth. There are lots of people that their religion is important to them, but it's not related necessarily to their practice, okay? But in Kylie's situation, it was. We then went over to Psychology Today, and we saw that in her, where she was, there were about 50 therapists. So nobody is going to, and they come up randomly, right? And nobody's going to search through 50 listings. But we noticed on the side that there was a little button that said, I'm looking for a Christian counselor. So there's also, I'm looking for a gay and lesbian counselor. So if you have one of those kinds of specialties that's listed over there on the left, just on the left as you're looking at me, then if you identify yourself as that and somebody clicks on that, then you're the one that's going to come up in your zip code. And so we did this, again, fictitiously, we did this for Kylie. I played with it earlier today. And then she was the only one that came up out of those 50 therapists as a Christian counselor. So then we looked at what were some Christian online locators. And there are some. You can find them. Our friend Debbie Smith has one. And then, okay, we said, okay, where would your centers? So that was the internet marketing. We got that set up. She put on a pink spoon. It could be a free report or free audio, something like that. Then we looked at community marketing. Okay, well, churches, ideal place, but it could be schools. And if you're looking at working with couples, who is it that's most likely to call? The female. So I would do talks. I recommend that she do talks at women's volunteer groups, women's church groups, mothers groups, where the women are, because that was the one that was most likely to come in. She also told some of her existing clients who weren't coming for couples work, I don't know if you know this, but one of my specialties is couples. And so if you know of anybody that I could serve, that it might make sense that you would love to get them some good help, I'd be honored for the referral. Mm-hmm. So then, and then let's say she decided to go to BNI. She could choose to do that if she wanted to. And at Business Network International is where you're there with a lot of different people and you trade referrals. All right. And so she could do that. And I wouldn't necessarily talk about couples, but she could say, I work with people whose relationships are hurting and they're tired of complaining about it. They want it to be better. All right. public relations, she could contact Harrow or PR Lease and say her specialty is relationships and couples, and she could get more specific if she wanted to. And then with Kylie, she doesn't want to build an online business, so we're not going to be talking about those kind of things. So do you see where once you know what's important to you and that Venn diagram intersection, that sweet spot between who you are, who your ideal client is, then you know the right place to market them. You know the right place to put, to let them know about you. So in contrast, if you were marketing sexual dysfunction, like we said before, you probably wouldn't be doing community lectures. So if you're doing anger management, you might be doing more internet marketing than community lectures, because people who have anger management problems might not come to a community lecture. There might be places where you would be doing more community lectures than internet marketing, just depending on what your purpose is, what your calling is, what your message is, and what other people, your ideal clients, are searching for. And I believe they're searching around your head. They're right there, just waiting for you to take the veil off of you, to let them see the beautiful, beautiful person that you are inside that snow globe. Okay? So in our next call, we're going to talk about the free consultation process for those of you that haven't done that. If you'd like, we can do another case study if that's of interest to you, and we've got lots more good stuff coming up. So if you haven't done the homework in terms of your ideal client or your at least the four questions, and again, don't get freaked out on that ideal client stuff. Make it light, make it easy, make it fun. This is all about you having the clients that you want, that you deserve, right? So I adore you. I so adore you. And if there's anything I can do to make your life easier or better, please let me know. And know that I have your vision here and here, and I want to support you. So I look forward to seeing you on our next call. And if you have some friends that you think might be interested in this, please send them the link. I really need to get this information out to as many people as possible. So I love you very much. Mwah. Until next time.